First, what a joy it was on Thursday to be at the ordination of Will Fry, now Deacon Will Fry, for our parish. You can read more about it in my column in the bulletin. Also, he had a massive Thanksgiving the next day where he got to preach for the first time. And just to repeat one thing that he said here before he left as well, don't pray for more deacons and priests. Pray for more holy deacons and more holy priests. We certainly continue to pray for him and for those in our diocese. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I would like to repeat a line that we just heard from St. Paul's magnificent letter to Timothy. God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. So do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord. Put that on your mirror every morning. Friends, I'll get to the point. Our question for today is, are we in fact ashamed of Jesus Christ? Are we ashamed of our faith in him? We may not think so, but what do our words and actions say? Those expressions of inner belief. The world who does not believe in Christ is quite happy for us to keep silent, an unseen faith. In fact, it encourages us to keep a silent faith, one that is acceptable so long as it is private, kept to oneself. We've sometimes even enshrined this as a, quote, better faith, saying, God knows my heart. It doesn't need to be seen. Really? That's a sweet-sounding theory, but it's not what Jesus said, is it? In all of the gospel accounts, without fail, he tells the apostles and disciples to make him known to the whole world. It's the last words in Matthew's gospel. In fact, the great commissioning where he sends them out, he says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Does that sound like a faith that should be kept to oneself, a faith that should be silent? Many of us are fond of quoting St. Francis of Assisi, preach the gospel at all times, use words when necessary. Well, it's necessary now. It's true. Our actions should preach Christ at all times, and it's a great quote, and I love it. But now is the time for words also. St. Francis obviously thought the same because he used a lot of words in his life. The point is, friends, our crisis today is a crisis of faith. The crisis we hear about with priests and bishops, the crisis we hear about with the laity, it is all a crisis of belief, of faith. The faith that you and I claim to profess with our lips must have outward, concrete expression to it. The culture of the United States and most of the West is very uncomfortable with this. But Jesus did not establish a comfortable religion. It is a challenge, and it is always the way of the cross. It always has been a challenge, and it always will be. It will never be comfortable. And if it is, we're in the wrong place. Now, I've asked this before. Do your friends and coworkers know that you are Catholic? Do they even know that you're a man or woman, at least of Christian faith? I once had a person call who had just gotten engaged. She was excited, and I congratulated her profusely for this life-changing moment. And I asked, well, is your fiancé Catholic? She responded, I don't know. I'll have to ask him. That should be among the first questions after what's your name, right? If you're going to spend the rest of your life with this person, something so important as the deepest core of our belief. What we have in a nutshell is the loss of the sense of God in our culture. To quote Cardinal Robert Seurat, the loss of the sense of God is at the origin of all crises. We do not have to make the church acceptable according to the world's criteria. We never have before. And when we have just given the faith has flourished and spread like wildfire. What we have to do is purify the church so that she presents to the world the cross of Jesus Christ in all of its nakedness and power and wonder. The cross is the cross, and it always will be a stumbling block to non-believers. We do them no favors trying to hide it or explain it away. Before we can go out and take Christ to others, we have to fix our own hearts, because as Jesus says, it's the whole point of our faith, to give it away. And like anything living, faith does not grow without nourishment and attention. Faith for a disciple of Jesus Christ grows from an intense life of prayer and silence and from the liturgy. It needs a daily face-to-face meeting with God in humble adoration. Faith is a personal yes to God. Faith is a conversion, a break with a life of sin. It's a break from all of our golden calves and idols in all of their different forms, from the things that we put in front of God, so that you and I can then experience the true freedom of the children of God. So what can we do? Simply give people God. Give people Jesus, not ourselves. The world doesn't need more of me. The world needs more of him. Only God can satisfy the thirst that we have. Only the living water of Jesus Christ. To paraphrase Cardinal Seurat, if people are deserting our churches today, it's very often because they arrive with a thirst for God, and we try to satisfy them with good feelings that are all too human. We aren't called to stay human as we know it. We are called to be glorified with the risen Christ. We are called no less to share in his divinity forever. Why would we want anything less if we understood what that meant? There is so much that we can do, and there are so many reasons to have hope. But first, you and I absolutely must wake up from our long slumber and shore up our faith. We cannot give what we do not have. That means, of course, reading and studying about our faith and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Above all, it means we must pray, really pray, silent prayer every day. Now, God doesn't want you to become a monk or a nun, if that's not your calling, but he does want you to be his son, to be his daughter, and to be known to others as such. Dare to proclaim the cross, to witness, to teach. Teach your children, even if they're all grown up, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, your friends, people that God randomly puts in your life. The faith should always be on our lips, like it was for the first Christians, the first believers, who would rather die than reject or change it. We can no longer call ourselves believers if we live and practice like atheists. Faith enlightens our whole life, not just our spiritual lives. So, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Respond with real, fervent faith. And remember, God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. So do not be ashamed of your witness to Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.